This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Can you turn in your Bible to Genesis 1? It's probably nearer the front end of the Bible. I know it's before Hebrews anyway. Genesis 1. And we're going to read from verse 11. So prior to this, in the 10 verses before, a whole lot's been going on. First, there wasn't really our planet. It wasn't really our galaxy or universe. Just God. And all the best if you can get your head around that. How are we meant to understand that? Oh, no, I'm just saying it. I'm not reading, June. Just saying it. It's from the Adam Revised Version. So then the heavens and the earth were created. I love that just in verse 1, by the way. Amazing, just in one little sense. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, as you do. Just, you know, as you do. As you God. Wow. He created the heavens and the earth. He could have created it however he wanted it to. Really. He could have made planets be cubes instead of round, spherical shapes. He could have made gravity be the opposite to what it was. He could have made it any way he wanted, but he didn't. He made things the way he planned, according to his wisdom, according to his plan. So he makes the light. Let there be light. Wow. I'd be doing all right if cooking an egg and it turns out okay. He makes light, just, you know, light. Whoa. Those that know a bit about the science behind light know that it's not just this simple flicker switch on, but there's a lot going on there. He divided night and day. He said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Divided the waters and then made seas and all of it's good. Verse 11. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass. Wow. Thanks, Moses. That's a tongue twister. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself, according to its kind. God saw that it was good. So the evening and morning were the third day. Wow. So we see there that... Oh, what happened to my mic? Is that all good? Not too loud? So here we see... Can we bring it back to where it was? That's just a little bit too loud. Yeah, don't worry about the rain. So here we see in this sphere as well, God could have made things however they wanted. He could have made trees any way he wanted. He didn't have to have them happen the way they do. We're so used to this idea of the fruit and the seed grows a plant, and the plant grows a fruit, the fruit and seed. That was his design. And he could have done it a different way, but he didn't. He did it this way. And it's a really good system. It's amazing. Like, think about a seed. The fruit has the seed in itself, okay? It's not like the seed's this add-on, but the seed is within the fruit. By the way, as we go through this, the whole point here is to not just look at this amazing botanical creation. You know, we could do that and have a fantastic time and be so amazed at the wonder of God, but let's even, as we go through it, think about how it applies to us. What spiritual laws are in place that are in reflection of these natural things he's put in place. So the fruit's got the seed in itself, always. You won't ever find fruit without seed. Every seed produces after its own kind. God could have made it differently. He could have made it that it's just this lucky dip. You plant a seed and, well, what's it going to be this time? Whoa, it's a watermelon. Well, let's get a watermelon seed planted. Wow, a grapevine. Let's grab it. You know, he could have done that. And maybe things would have been a bit more interesting. but he hasn't. Every seed. What was that, Jill? We do like predictability. I think he knew that we did. Imagine that, Craig. What sort of a... Whoa. And we see that seeds produce plants that produce more fruit. I know that just sounds like a simple thing, but when you plant a seed, it doesn't just grow a plant. Like, that would be pretty cool, because it's pretty amazing to think that this seed, you know, gets put in the ground, and when the conditions are right and it's got all it needs, you know, usually this little taproot goes down and gets nutrients, and this other shoot comes up, breaks through the soil, and a little plant grows from this tiny little seed. It's amazing. How did it fit in there? It's growing out of this tiny little thing in this huge big tree. But it doesn't just stop there. It then produces fruit with seeds again that can be planted. Genius. Oh, he's a genius. Man, he's so wise. And that being the case, that when you plant a seed and you get a tree or a plant that has fruits that have seeds within the fruit, then that we always will be able to harvest more than what we sow. Okay, you don't plant a seed and a seed grows. Oh, I've got a seed from this seed. Or it grows a tree that bears one fruit with one seed. It's never that way. Okay, we'll always have seeds that then can produce more and more. So we're not dealing with addition here. We're dealing with this exponential multiplication. Plant one seed. You get, I don't know, 100 seeds from the fruit from that tree. You plant all of them. You just get this picture of, oh, it's amazing. And God's also made it so that often the seed isn't really meant to just, sometimes it is in some plants, meant to just fall where it is and grow another plant right next to the other plant. You know what I mean? That'd be a whole lot of crowded plants. Okay, if all those apple trees or whatever grew right there, there's too much competition for the light and the soil and stuff like that. So God, in his wisdom, has had all these different ways that seeds can be dispersed. A seed's not meant to often just stay where it is, but sometimes it's to go other places. Sometimes it's in wind. If you've ever, you know, been a kid and you get a dandelion and you blow it. Some of them are stubborn, aren't they? Come on. What do you do? What do kids do? Is it what time it is? They blow it, and if it's like they get them all off in three blows, it's 3 o'clock or something. Maybe that's how they used to work out the time before sundials. And what time is it? It's 1 o'clock. Oh, no, 1:30. Okay. And these little things with little parachutes just sail across. Wow, how cool is that? Man. Maybe it's a seed that, you know, has this fleshy fruit around it that animals like to eat, and off they go and deposit it other places. Maybe, you laughed when I said deposited, Mum. You've picked, I know what you're picturing there. Okay. Maybe sometimes even it's like a burr has little hooks that when an animal brushes past, off it goes and scratches itself, and it, wow, it's amazing. You know, Velcro was invented because the guy who invented it was going for a walk with his dog and realized that his dog had all these burrs with little hooks, and then he thought, well, I wonder what we can do with this, and came up with Velcro. Maybe it's water. You can see coconuts floating around, and off they go and staying at some beach somewhere, or, you know, other seeds going down a river. Some plants are so cool, they self-disperse their own seeds. They're like, you know, we don't need wind or water. We don't need animals. We just do it ourselves. This type of cucumber, it's about this big, called a squirting cucumber. I don't know if you've seen it. These slow-motion videos of it. Right at the right time, it bursts off its little shoot, and all the seeds just spray it. Like, they can come out at like 95 kilometres an hour. How awesome's that? Wow. There's these other ones that just almost like implode on themselves and a seed just burst out of these flowers. Wow, that's awesome. Some proteas or some even pine cones, they have seeds that are dormant within them. Only when fire, you know, burns the plant, that's when life comes through. We see, when bushfires go through Australia, we see, a eucalypt forest decimated, and then in a few months later, there's all these shoots with green leaves all up, all these seeds just waiting for fire to come, and God's made it that way. We also know with seeds that when you plant them in the ground, you don't get an immediate result. And it's like what Josie was saying before, we can pray and sometimes it can take a while. How easy would that be as a farmer? Just put the seed in, go, yes, okay, next. But it doesn't. It takes time. Some plants take more time than others. So let's have a look at fruit. Now we look at fruit and think, oh, that's just what we eat. But what's the function of a fruit? Function has really two. A fruit has two functions. It is to protect the seed. So a fruit is to protect the seed, and it's also to help in the dispersal of that seed. Okay, so that's what the fruit is for. To protect the seed, the seeds within the fruit, and it's to help disperse it. So these things in nature that God's put in place, it's not only just in the natural plant world where these things happen. Have a look at humans. Like, he's made humans in quite a similar way to reflect the same nature of the way he's done plants. In that, two people, and they can produce some kids, and those kids grow up and produce kids. And just like the seed growing the fruits that have the seeds in it, it's this exponential growth. It's amazing. And it's the same principle at play, isn't it? Do you know that it took to about the year 1800 for the world population to get to 1 billion? That's a long time to get to 1 billion. And then it took 130 years, roughly, to get to 2 billion. Wow. So all of history leading up to the year 1800, we got to 1 billion. And then only 130 years later, 2 billion. Whoa, in about 1930. Then around 1959, not even 30 years later, 3 billion. Oh, man. Imagine seeing that family tree. Wow. Then 1974, boom. 1987, 1999. Every like 12, 13 years. 2012, 7 billion. Whoa. Isn't that amazing? Man. So our population is like doubled in not long. Amazing. And just think about all these people. I mean, it's hard to think about it, isn't it? Because 7.5 billion people is a lot of people. And these are people that have a destiny, every single one of them. And all of those that have lived before, each of them have a destiny. Each of them have a life to live wherever they've been born. And God has chosen each one of them. Sometimes we think, oh, population growth. Oh, this is just, how are we going to cope? Every one of those lives is cherished by the Lord. Every single one. It's like every less than a second someone's being born. Wow. Amazing. It's amazing. And to think that it's all part of his sovereign plan. You know, when we think about, it says in Revelation about, those without number, like this sea of, this multitude of people singing his praise. Wow. Billions. Millions. Man, I think that, we hear about a revival and about those coming into a relationship with the Lord. And we read in the Bible that the end times will get pretty dark, but they're also going to be amazingly glorious. And through tribulation, many will come to the Lord. Wow. How many? Countless amounts. Wow. So not only does this whole thing with seeds and fruit apply to us as people, but also there's spiritual things that God's put in place as well. And the Bible is just littered with reference to seed, the seed of Abraham, or the seed of the woman, or you know, so much things about the fruit of the Spirit. And it's not, I don't think it's that, you know, Jesus mentioned these things because, you know, the people of the time are familiar with agriculture, even though that was the case. And they probably understand it a whole lot better than what we do. But I think it's mentioned so much because God created it a certain way, way back in Genesis, and he wants to help us to know that the way he set things up is the way that we can understand some spiritual truths. So we look at something like the Word of God. You know, look at the farmer who's sowing the seed, the Word of God. And there are some of you that have been sowing the Word of God maybe into family members, and maybe you haven't seen much fruit from that. And I think that, you know, we think about a seed, and it's when the conditions are just right. And sometimes we want the conditions to be right in our timing. But we've got to wait. Got to wait. Because God has a plan. And I think in the watering and in making sure there's some good conditions there, we can have our part to play. And sometimes we can mess things up. You know, if you start digging away and grabbing that seed and, oh, what's going on? How come you put it back in? Ah, dig it up again. Oh, what? Nothing yet. Oh, you're probably going to hinder the growth that's happening. So sometimes we've got to be a bit hands off. So be encouraged. I'm so glad you mentioned that before, Josie. When we're praying for others, when we're just speaking the word into people's lives or sharing with them our testimony or the word of God, we need to be patient for the conditions to be right for that person. Maybe the right conditions for that person is that a fire's got to come through. Maybe it's got to be a really rough time. Maybe there's some seed in you. Maybe there's been some seed planted in you that hasn't yet sprung forth. And maybe it's through hard times or suffering, time of great heat or opposition, maybe that's when is that favorable time for God to spring forth something in you. Now we need to be open to that happening. That's interesting, isn't it? What seeds are in us that haven't come about yet to bear fruit? But there's seeds there in us. Maybe it was a grandparent that spoke to us. Maybe it was in Sunday school when we heard, sung a song or heard the word of God. Maybe we were in youth group and someone had a word from us and opened up the scriptures and shared something. There's seeds within us. Now, I wasn't planning to say that, but that's really interesting, isn't it? What is there within us? And so I think with that in mind, we can face whatever comes our way, knowing that God, may you make whatever conditions in my heart favorable for those seeds to start to germinate and to bear fruit that's going to glorify your name. Do you know that in an island of Norway, there's a seed vault? There's this massive big vault. It looks like something from James Bond, like in the Arctic. There's this huge big door coming out of the snow, and within it is like hundreds of thousands of seeds that, you know, just in case there's some horrible global crisis, there's all these seeds ready to go. There's these seeds dormant. They're just there. The potential with every one of those seeds is to bear much fruit. And amazing. But right now they're just sitting there doing nothing, not being planted. I wonder if sometimes we can be a bit of a seed vault. Maybe we've got some seeds that we could be spreading, we could be planting. What are we waiting for? Some Holocaust or some horrible thing? These see each one of the seeds, everything is just so ready for potential to be planted to grow. Now we think about the fruits of the Spirit, and let's turn to there actually. Let's go to Galatians 5. Do you know? Galatians 5 and verse 22. I want you to think about a concept here as I read it. The concept is this, that we know that in every fruit there's a seed, yeah? There's no fruit without seeds. The fruit is not just for people to eat and enjoy, but it's for them to be reproduced and to grow more and more of seed and plants of that kind. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. That fruit that God wants in our life, love, is not just a fruit that's there to be showy, hey, look, get my love, but it's got seed within it to grow more love. Joy. Exponential multiplication. The seed, the potential within that fruit that God wants to grow in our life. Peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You know, sometimes when we share the Word of God or with others, we can sometimes share it in a way that maybe doesn't have those fruits evident with it. You think about patience, for example, and how maybe you would love a family member to see things a certain way that God would have them see it, or have them to come to the Lord or whatever, for you to deliver this seed without, let's see if I can put this in a way that can explain what's in my head. A seed has fruit to protect it. Okay? A seed has fruit to protect it. So could, perhaps, you can challenge me on this if you think I'm wrong, could perhaps the fruits of the Spirit, and as we speak the Word, or as we plant the Word in others, or as we sow the Word, that it needs the fruit of the Spirit to protect that seed as in that sowing? It allows it to be received, doesn't it? Because think about fruit. Yeah, it is. There's a sweetness to it. There's a attractiveness to it. And we've probably all seen people trying to do this to other people over there. That seed has no protection. It's not going to be received because it is not encased and protected within that fruit. What's awesome is that we don't have to try to get this fruit built into our life. We don't have to try and grow it in our life. It's not the fruit of Karen. It's not the fruit of Elaine. It's the fruit of the Spirit. So how do we do that? How do we do that? Well, let's go to John 15. And what you prayed this morning, Brendan, just lines up perfectly. All about abiding. Finish with John 15. Now, while you're turning to John 15, I'm just going to read out Psalm 1 to you. Check out this bookmark Cara Jane made me. You know those spirographs? You know those things where you get those little plastic, and you go like that and it makes this cool. I know you probably can't see it, but it's pretty awesome. Psalm 1. I'll just read this out while you're at John 15. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like what? A tree planted by the rivers of water. Wow, so it's not just this tree chopped down somewhere in the desert, not just a tree that's planted, but a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. Wow. What are those rivers? They're the Word, they're Him, they're God. They're His Spirit. And that tree will bring forth its fruit in its season. We want to be fruitful people, don't we? Whose leaf also shall not wither. Whatever he does shall prosper. All right, you're at John 15? Anyone at John 15? Okay. Okay, and let's read from verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Here's the clincher, verse 4. This is how we have this fruit grow in our life. Abide in me, and I in you. Isn't that amazing? He could have stopped with abide in me, and that would have been enough. You know what I mean? Like, for us to abide in God, wow. Us to go to him and abide in his love. But then he says, and I in you, God, you in me. Do you actually grasp what it is to have Christ in us? It's huge. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'll read that again. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, so sorry if you're trying to bear fruit in your own life. Sorry if you're trying to do some things that have eternal value just on your own. It can't happen. They're dead works. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. That was Jesus' pep talk of the day. You can't do anything without me. Well, nothing. You can do nothing without him. If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they're burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you'll be my disciples. We read on, we hear that Jesus says, it's my commandment that you love one another, and that if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. And there's our answer. Obeying the Lord, keeping his commandments, abiding in the love of God, submitting to him, as Catherine was saying this morning. Because our goal, it should be for him to be glorified, not about us. It's not about having the fruit of the Spirit isn't so people can look at us and think, oh, aren't they good people? Aren't they nice? That's what I used to think that. That scripture that said, let your gentleness be known to all men. I used to think, I think I should make sure I'm gentle. I think that is part of who God's made me to be. But I think for me, I think I was using it as a bit of a let's get out of dealing with any conflict sort of thing. But it's not about us. It's not about, I loved how Catherine put it, it's not about us, whether we think we're it and a bit and that, you know, somebody stop us because we're going to do things for the Lord. Meanwhile, he's asking us to go that way instead of that way. Or maybe we just don't think we're worthy. We don't think we're worth God being in us. We don't think we're... It's not about us. It's about him. We can do nothing without the Lord. So let me pray. God, with you. Thank you, Lord, for the way that you created the world, for the things you put in place, Lord, to show us amazing things. Thank you, Lord God, for creating seeds that bear, that create plants that then will bear fruit, and that those seeds are within that fruit that will then reproduce after its own kind. Thank you, Lord God, that that is indeed what it is, the same way with humans. And I guess the tragedy of Adam and Eve sinning and then producing after their own kind once sin came into the world, we know that each one of us who is in Adam was born in sin. And Lord, we just thank you, God, for the provision you've made for us. And God, we pray that as we submit to you, Lord, as we obey you, as we get to know your word and desire to keep your law, to meditate on it day and night, to keep your commandments, Lord, that that's when fruit will come forth in us. As we abide in you, Lord God, that fruit will grow, that you may be glorified.
Thanks for listening, and please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.com.